As we are still standing, I'd like to offer to you our scripture lesson for the sermon. Again, it's commonly called the Great Commission. It's the way Matthew ends his gospel. The very first words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel were on a mountain. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. The last words of Matthew's gospel were Jesus speaking from a mountain. From Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. Teach us by your Holy Spirit, shape us by your Holy Spirit, and may we more and more resemble the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, to your glory and honor, we pray, in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. I think in many respects, this is going to be a rather simple sermon. Let me just start with a simple statement here. The Lord's people are known by the Lord. It's interesting that in our text today, Jesus on a mountain, speaking authoritatively, actually saying, "All power and all authority has been given to me," says, "Go and make disciples and mark them as my disciples." And some people may want to say, "Well, you can't even see water." Well, the Lord knows. The Lord can see. The Lord's people are known by the Lord. The Lord's people are usually known by one another as well. The Lord's people are usually known by one another as well. We've all likely had this experience. We're out somewhere, and it may not be a church-type place. It may not be a place where there's a number of other Christians, and yet you encounter someone, and there's something distinctive, different. They're distinguished from others. You find out that they're a child of God. The Lord's people are known by the Lord and usually by one another. But there's something else. The Lord's people also live in a particular way. We live in a distinctive way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. This is the solid foundation of the Lord. The solid foundation of God stands, and you know what it has? It has this seal. There's a seal on the solid foundation of God. What's on the seal? Here. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What's the seal of the solid foundation of God? The Lord knows those who are His. There's no doubt there at all. And let those who name the name of Christ get away from, stay clear away from iniquity. We are a distinctive people. We are a separated people. Matter of fact, Simon Peter actually refers to the household of God as the Lord's own special people. The King James translates it this way, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. You're a distinctive people. We are a distinctive people. The Lord knows those who are His. You're peculiar. You're separated. You're distinct. You're distinguished from others. This is because the Lord knows us. He provides for us. He has marked us. And it's interesting, the Lord has always marked His people. Always. A lot of people don't know this. They're always freaked out about the mark of the beast. Do you know that the Lord marks His people? The book of Revelation mentions this. Prophet Ezekiel, the Lord marks His people. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. The ordinances, the sacraments of the Lord are one of the ways that the Lord marks you. Our Old Testament reading today from Exodus chapter 11, that's the Passover. That's the Passover. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said that I'm going to do this in Egypt with the Passover so that I can make a distinction, because the Lord makes a distinction between Israel and Egypt. Matter of fact, the Lord is going to intervene so much that a dog isn't even going to woof. A dog's not going to bark at the children of Israel. The Lord can do this. The Lord controls birds and barks. Not a bird falls. The Lord controls it all. The Lord makes a distinction. The Lord puts a difference between Israel and Egypt. So here's it. Here it is. That's why the solid foundation of the Lord, 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are His. He's marked you to be distinctive, and the Lord has provided for you to be distinctive. The Lord set the terms for circumcision and the Passover. This is what I say. The Lord does the same in the new covenant with our ordinances, sacraments of baptism, and the Lord's table. These come from the Lord. Circumcision was not something that we made up. This is something the Lord gave. The Passover was not something we said, hey, you know, this is a pretty good idea. Let's have some lamb and some bitter herbs and this kind of... No, this is something the Lord gave. Baptism. We go, what? What? This is what the Lord gave to us. And by the way, baptism is not our testimony. Baptism is the Lord's testimony. The Lord is saying, I am the one who marks you. I am the one who cleanses you. I am the one who says, live this way. The Lord's table. Come to my table. I'll set this table. I will provide it. I will furnish it. Matter of fact, I'm even going to say, I'm going to give my own son his body and his blood. I will do this for you. So the Lord marks His people. Let's go to baptism. I'd like you to hear this again, perhaps for the very first time. Hear this again for the very first time. I'm going to read to you a couple of statements from Reformed confessions of the past. This one's actually from a catechism. We know it. We own it. The Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is baptism? Listen to this. Now, note how the Lord marks His people. So children, you can't fade out. You can't phase out here. You can't say, you know, I'm going to check out right now. Because if you're baptized, here it is. You've been marked. And the Lord knows those who are His. Listen to this. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why we don't accept Mormon baptisms. It's not Trinitarian. Wouldn't do that. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit doth signify and seal out our engrafting into Christ. It signifies and seals. There's a seal. It's a mark. Our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Hey, I'm engaged to be the Lord's. The second Helvetic confession on baptism. Listen to this. Moreover, by the sacrament, remember, the Lord marks, sets us apart, makes us distinctive. Listen to this. Moreover, by the sacrament of baptism, God does separate us from all other religions and nations, and does consecrate us a peculiar people to Himself. Let me read on. We, therefore, by being baptized, do confess our faith and are bound to give unto God obedience, mortification of the flesh, and newness of life. Yea, and we are soldiers enlisted for the holy warfare of Christ, that all our life, lifelong, we should fight against the world, Satan, and our own flesh. A lot of boys are going, yeah. By the way, it's been stated that the old Latin term for a sacrament referred to a military oath. Yeah, I'm enlisted. I'm part of that, of the Lord's army. And even there, the second Helvetic confession says, you've been engaged into the Lord's warfare. Stand at attention. You're a distinctive people. But that begins this way. In baptism, God separates us. Note that. Separation. All right. We had four baptisms today. I hope each one of us are considering our own baptisms. And I thought that today it would be good to consider this distinctive marking of baptism. It's distinctive. And that's because there's a distinctiveness to water. And as I considered this today, I thought, you know, let's take a look at what the scriptures say about waters, waters of distinction. And take a look at what the Bible says about what water does. Really, what the Lord does, but He shows this forth in water. Water throughout the Bible is that which separates and shows distinctions. In this, we're going to say, simply, water is distinctive. Now, we are all familiar with water as that which has been appointed for the sacrament of baptism. We've all got that. Okay, clear. We all see in water an image, a likeness, a reality that water can actually wash away the filth of our flesh. We all know that. So we know that water is a washing. We get that symbol. We get that sign. We also know that water in our lives, water gives life. We're mostly made up of water. We're very watery. Watery people. By the way, when a lady's water breaks, that living baby is going to make an advent very soon. And we're going to experience life in a whole new way. Wow, we're holding this baby. He or she's advent is present. In hospice care, water is most necessary. Prior to someone's dying, if they don't have water, they will die. Waters of distinction. Waters of separation. Waters of division. Waters of setting apart. I'd like you to see this in the Bible. So what I'd like you to do, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to walk through a number of passages today. And I'm going to remind you of what you already know about what God says about water throughout the Bible. You're going to be asking this question. Why then would God use water in baptism, and what does this mean about me, someone who is baptized? Are you baptized? So what? So here we go. The first mention of water in the Bible, right there on the second day of creation, right at creation, the Lord God did what with water? He divided waters. He made a separation in the water that was present. So we open our Bibles, and the very first, right out of the chute, we encounter water, and the Lord God takes water and says, I'm going to make a separation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament, a space, right there in the middle of the waters. Bless you. And let it divide the waters from the waters. Let this space divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and morning were there the second day. What does God say about water? Well, there's a separation in waters. Oh, keep going. On the third day of creation, the waters were separated or distinguished even more. Look at verse 9 and 10. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens, these are the below waters, be gathered together in one place. What does God do with water? He even makes a further separation. There's water below, and He takes some of that water and He gathers it to make other separations from other waters. And let the dry land appear. So you can even get kind of a cartoon picture. Boop, all of a sudden there's dry land. Separation. If imagine a pool of water, and then all of a sudden the Lord says, okay, I want the water to go back, and this dry land is going to appear. Okay, I see a separation. Read on, verse 10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas, and God said it was good. It's good. We haven't even turned a page in our Bibles yet. You even haven't flicked a screen on your phone. I don't know why you're doing it. We'll talk about that some other time. So, but now let's go ahead and turn a page. We're just dealing with water in the Bible. And water separates and makes distinctions. We barely make it into chapter 2 of Genesis, and we find the Garden of Eden. And you know what was in the Garden of Eden? A singular river. Water. There was one river in the Garden of Eden. And when it flowed out of the Garden of Eden, verse 10, you know what it did? It split. It separated. It divided. It distinguished itself into four rivers. Pishon, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. Look at verse 10. Now a river, went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it parted. Waters part. Waters separate. And became four riverheads. You're thinking, okay, I get this. We've hardly gotten into the Bible and we're seeing water and divisions within water. God is saying, he's making separations. We go to the flood. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7. In Genesis 7, there are a number of separations and partings and distinctions that occurred. All in and with and around the flood. First of all, you know what was opened, split, divided? Heaven. What else was split, opened, divided, distinguished? Earth. Heaven and earth were split. Now, at the beginning of creation, God separated the waters above from the waters below. You know what's going to happen? Above and below are going to split open. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were baka, broken up, divided. The fountains of the great deep were divided. The Lord's going to do something whenever he's dividing water. He's getting ready to do something. Whenever he brings water, he's going to make a distinction, a separation. Waters above, waters below, waters here and land, and it's good. The Lord's going to do something here. That passage goes on, verse 11, Genesis 7. And the windows of heaven were what? Opened. They were loosened. You know, if we had a window here that would open, you know the idea? We see this window and somebody walks up to the house and says, whew, it's warm in here. Let's go ahead and open the window. There's a parting. There's an opening. Same exact Hebrew word there. Heavens were, the Lord opened the window. And we know what happened. Waters from above, waters from below. We need a new creation. We need a new creation. Sin. The Lord needs to make another water parting. But he's got to deal with sin. Children are all going, yes, Mom, Dad, I've read that story so many times. Yes, sin invaded, infested the land, and the Lord brought the waters back together. Waters from above and waters below. A new creation is what's going to be needed. And what happened? The flood made a distinction. The flood itself made a distinction. The waters made a separation of those on the earth. It made a separation of peoples. The water itself made a separation. It was distinctive. Some were under the water and others, eight of them, passed through the waters. They, in a sense, in that ark, made a separation through the waters. Something else. These were waters both of judgment and deliverance. These were waters of death and deliverance. The same waters. We know from our Old Testament reading today that the Lord used Passover to make a distinction between Egypt and Israel. But there's more. If you were to read on in Exodus, and I'm just referring to these passages now, right after the Passover, you know what the Lord did? He made a further distinction between Israel and Egypt, and he did so with water. The Lord used water to further demonstrate his distinctions, his separation, and he did so at the Red Sea. And again, in the Exodus, some were under the water, but prior to that, some passed right through the waters. because the Lord separated waters and started with a new creation. And His people walked through on dry land. And so some people that, I remember in seminary, people would say, well, what this was a shifting of the plates of the earth, or there was a strong wind, because the Bible mentions, and what the Lord did is blew the water, bless you, the Lord blew water to one side and then blew water to the other side, but the Bible says it was dry land. It says that the Lord made a part and they walked through on dry land. It doesn't say the Lord blew His wind, His breath, His spirit, and then all of a sudden they waited. When's it going to dry? No. The Lord caused a new creation. He got to separate the waters. His people went through and He brought it back together. And again, there's another distinctive. The Lord is distinctive. I'm going to care for my people. And I'm going to do so through distinctive waters. You know, right after the Exodus, if you were to look at Exodus 15, 3 days after the Exodus, the people of God come to a place called Marah. There's no water other than Marah, bitter, undrinkable waters. Exodus 15, verses 22 through 26. They're in the wilderness of Shur. They find no water. They couldn't drink it. They called the place Marah. What's the name of this place? Let's call this place bitter. Marah, bitter water. Can't drink. We're going to die. We are going to die. They complained against Moses. What are we going to drink? They cried. So Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed Moses a tree. And the Lord says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a distinction in this water. This is nasty water. This is stinky, nasty, bitter water. I'm going to now, after 3 days, give you a tree. I'm going to give you living water after 3 days with a tree, 3 days, and put the tree in the water, and the bitter waters became sweet, and everybody's drinking the water, including the animals. Wonderful. The Lord makes a distinction in the water, turning it from a water of death to the water of life. You turn a couple of pages. You can read all of this afternoon. You come to Exodus 17, the congregation of the children of Israel, God's people, set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the Lord's commandment, and they come to a place called Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. The Lord's distinctive people come to a place without any water. Now, this place doesn't even have bitter water. They're not even looking at it and going, we've got a bad pond here. There's no ponds at all. Cry out to the Lord through Moses. Moses says, you know what? You're tempting the Lord. The Lord has already delivered you through water. The Lord has provided you with water. So the Lord said to Moses, what I'd like you to do is to take that staff, the very staff that you took when you separated the waters of the Red Sea, that very same rod. I want you to take that rod, Moses. I want you to walk up to a rock, and I would like you to strike the rock. And what did the Lord do? He caused something very distinctive to occur. It was like a separation. How water came out of the rock. Distinctive water. Enough for all the people and their cattle. Come up. Let your animals take a sip. Drink. When's it going to end? I don't know. It's coming out of the rock. There's more. Waters of distinction, waters of separation. And so long before we ever get to baptism, where the Lord is saying, you are my people, He is trying to say, I make distinctions with water and through water. Entrance into the land of promise. In Joshua chapter 3, the children of Israel were to enter the land of promise. You know about this. The Lord commanded Joshua, saying, you know what I want you to do, Joshua? Make this command. It's my command. I want the ark to go first, the ark of the covenant to go first. And you know what? The priests are supposed to carry it. No cart, no animals. My priests tote the ark. And what you're going to do is you're going to come up to the water. You're going to come up to the Jordan River, which is constantly overflowing its banks. It's just in and out, in and out. And this is what's going to happen. The priests are going to go forward with the ark, And once their feet touched the moist bank of the Jordan, because the river's coming, once their feet of the priest gets near the water, you know what's going to happen? The waters are going to split. It's going to be another new creation, another parting of the waters. Instead of above and below, like at the first creation, instead of side to side with the new creation of deliverance getting out of Egypt, the Lord is going to now bring you into the land. And the Jordan is that water boundary. And you need to cross through, pass through the water. So once the priest stepped there, on one side the water dried up and on the other side the water heaped up. That must have been fascinating. Heaped up. You read Joshua 3. What? How high did it go? Water tower. It's a water tower. It's fascinating. So the priest stood there. People of God marched through on dry land again. It's an exodus. It's remarkable. By the way, later on, it takes someone, a member from each of the 12 tribes, take a stone, and I want you to make a monument, a memorial to this. Remarkable. Well, I'm going to share with you a few more, and then I'm just going to make a simple point of application. A few more. In the temple, the temple's fascinating. If you were to read in 1 Kings 7 and 2 Chronicles 4 about the furnishings in the temple, you know what you'd find? You'd find on one side there would be these five basins held up by these crafted oxen. Five basins of water. There are a lot of sacrifices going on in and around the temple. They needed a lot of water. There was also one huge sea. It called it a sea. It was mammoth. But imagine what would happen when the priest walked in, the priest of God, when he walked into the temple, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant temple. 1 Kings 7, 2 Chronicles 4. The priest literally, representing the Lord to the people and the people to the Lord, would walk between 10 basins of water on dry ground. Remarkable. All the way through the Bible, the Lord is saying, you know what, I'm going to take water and I'm going to make these separations because I've got a distinctive people. I'm doing something. Cleansing and such. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, he was leprous and he needed something to change. His flesh was rotting, rotted flesh. He comes to the prophet and the prophet says, you need to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He said, what? That's a nasty river. We've got better rivers back home. And somebody says, you know what? If the prophet asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? Oh yeah, I'd have done that. He's asking you to do something like this. Just do it. It's remarkable. The Lord makes a distinction, makes a separation. Naaman goes and dips 7 times. Huh? Huh? You know, what's he doing? 3rd time? Nothing's happening. Nah. 7th time comes up, and his rotted flesh was gone. It says he had the flesh of a little child. Of such is the kingdom. He was like a little child. How? Well, there was these distinctive waters. Do this. Obey the Lord. I don't get it. Well, the Lord makes separations. And what did he just do? He separated Naaman's filthy, nasty flesh. What about all the other people that swam in the Jordan? Surely they went swimming there more than 7 times. Again, sign must be joined with the word. By the way, in Leviticus chapter 14, you can read about the cleansings for leprosy. Somebody has leprosy. There's always this running water. And what happens when water, like I did this with Ben earlier today, what happens when the water goes on? You even put water on your hands, it makes a separation. So Ben was like this. Water makes this separation. It's just right there in front of us. Last, I'm just going to call this wells, water, and weddings. Wells, water, and weddings. One of the most significant changes, distinctions, divisions, or separations that occurs when a man and a woman get married. It is no wonder, then, that the Scriptures include the meeting of future spouses at wells. At wells. In Genesis 24, Rebekah is met. Isaac's future bride is met there by Abraham's servant. They end up getting married. Later on, Genesis 29, Jacob meets Rachel at a well. And in our gospel reading today, John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well, and what do they start talking about? They really talk about marriage. Yeah, the man you're with now is really not your husband. But the Father is seeking those to be in union with Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. This was our father Jacob's well. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm looking for my bride. I'm looking for those who will be in union with me. Wells and water and weddings. And some people are going, I need to go out and hang out by a well. That'll be good. As long as it's living water. What did Jesus say there in John 4? I give living water. I'm the one who gives living water. I'm the one who gives distinctive water. And we're going to say, well, did it really happen? That's not the point. The Lord is pleased to work with or without, above means. But the Lord loves to show forth His ways of making you separate and distinct. So here we are. We wrap up today. I'm going to ask you to go forth and do whatever you do heartily in the name of the Lord. Go forth as a distinctive people, because that's who you are. Why are you distinctive? Because someone has acted upon you. You may hearken back to the day of your baptism. Your parents may actually say to you, I remember the day you were baptized. Similarly, they may say, I remember the day you were born. I remember that glorious day. I remember the day that you took that first wonderful breath and then bellowed out and cried. Ever since that time, you have been breathing in our home. You have been eating food. We have been eating together. I want you to go forth from this place bearing the name honorably. So what I'd like you to do, go forth from this place. You know, we're going to go downstairs. We're going to have some fellowship together. We're going to have some sweet fellowship and enjoy one another. I'd like you to go forth from this place knowing that you're a distinctive people, that you've been marked distinctively, and it wasn't by you, it wasn't of you, it was by another. So I'm going to ask you, to whom do you belong? And if you start thinking this way, when you're sitting at the dinner table this evening, you sit down and you think, I belong to the Lord. When you're at work over these next 6 days, and if you work as one who belongs to the Lord, you will begin to make wise decisions to honor the Lord whose name you bear. Has the Lord shown distinctive waters upon you? Has He made a distinction between you and Egypt? Yes. Why do you do what you do? It's because you're a distinctive people. How will you treat one another? You will treat them as distinctive people who also belong to the Lord. So I'm simply saying in this very simple sermon, taking a look at the Bible, waters of distinction, and saying, you are of Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are for Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, in all places and in all you do. Go forth, but before we do so, let us sing and come to His table and receive from Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your kindness in marking us out as Your children. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live and breathe and move, speak and hear as those who bear Your name. Lord, You have crafted us to be a distinctive, peculiar people. May we do so for the glory of Your name and in love for the world that You have created and loved Yourself. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.